Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, but there's more to it than just the blood of the Lamb. It says, and, it's not either or, it's and, by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Because your testimony is going to either put you over or it's going to put you under. In John chapter 10, turn there with me. John 10 and 10, we're familiar with this verse. Because I like it and I talk about it a lot. Jesus is speaking here. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. Just three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. If these things are operating in your life, if you're seeing evidence of stealing and killing and destroying in your life, that's because of the enemy. That's because of Satan. That's what he's doing. God has nothing to do with those things. And yet I encounter so many Christians that love God that you'd think that they were believing that God and the devil work together. That like somehow God employs Satan and he's on the payroll. By what they say, I'm just observing. And if I have opportunity, if I have, you know, license by that individual, I'll correct them. And I'll say, what do you mean? What do you mean that God is putting this symptom on you? Oh, yes, it's to teach me something. This is how God teaches us. Get the book, open the book, and study the book. And you'll know what God does. I just showed you what Jesus said the devil does. But somehow you've got your mouth engaged in saying things that have nothing to do with God. Everything to do with Satan. And so there's confusion. And if you have confusion going on, I can guarantee you this, that if you're speaking those things, then you're the one that's giving Satan license to enforce them in your life. You are. I know it doesn't go over real big. Nobody shouts hallelujah. Preach it on. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Why did Jesus come? Aren't you glad he told us? Number one, he came to make dead people alive. But there are a lot of people that have gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but you'd think experientially they're still living in death because they haven't gotten a hold of how to live in the kingdom. And Jesus talked a lot about it. Matter of fact, after he came out of hell, he taught a 40-day seminar on how to live in the kingdom. Came right out of hell, and that was what was on his mind. That's what he wanted to let everybody know, is how do you live in my kingdom? It's not by saying that and attributing things that Satan does to God. And so he goes on to say, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, does abundant sicknesses sound like something Jesus is talking about? No. No, that would be killing. That would be stealing your health. The Amplified says the thief only comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, Jesus came, that you, put your name right in here, you might have and enjoy life. Well, I don't know anybody that's got sickness and disease in their body and they're enjoying it. But yet you listen to them. Just recently I talked to somebody And they were like attributing, well, you know, God's doing this to do something in me. He said, no, he's not. No, he's not. God doesn't have any sickness and disease to give you. Jesus came. Jesus came because the Father sent him. And he said, I came that you'd have and enjoy life. He says, have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I'm not the bad shepherd that puts stuff on you. Come on, we've got to get our understanding of what God does and what the devil does. And then we've got to line our mouth up with that revelation. We started last Wednesday night talking about the power of our words. After you get born again, it is so critical that you understand how to move forward in victory. How to move forward in victory. It's going to be by the words you choose. The words that you choose. We looked at Proverbs 23:7 last week. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. What you're thinking on in your heart, Jesus said that out of that abundance, it's going to come out your mouth. And it's going to direct your life. You're going to have more abundance of sickness and disease because you are cooperating with Satan and giving him your authority. Christians need to know their authority. They have authority over the devil. Luke 10 and 19, Jesus says, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Nothing, no thing, Jesus said, no thing shall come against you. Let's look at that in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you. That denotes a gift. Jesus has given us a gift. He's given you the gift of authority. Use it. Know it. Understand it. I've given you the authority to trample on serpents, trample on demons, trample them, and over all power of the enemy. How much power? All power. You have authority over all power. Whatever power Satan has in your life, it's because you've given him part of your authority. God didn't give Satan any authority. Adam gave it to him when he transgressed. He handed him the authority God put in Adam to rule and reign sovereignly on planet Earth. And Satan coerced and got it. But nonetheless, he got it. Jesus says, I've given you the authority. He's given it back to us. He says, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Go over to Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's good news. So you wouldn't be going to preach to somebody and say, brother, I'm just glad you got that cancer in your body. God must be doing a work in you. He wants to teach you something. That's stupidity. That's what God told us in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can kill you. You can go to the grave early. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many believers here do we have here tonight? In my name, they'll cast out demons. Well, if he said, in my name, you'll cast out demons, you must have the authority to do so. Don't be wimpy about it. Don't be afraid. Oh, the devil's coming after me. Yeah, big deal. He's coming after everybody. But if you've got the authority, what's the big deal? There's no big deal. He said we'd speak with new tongues. Jesus said this. You'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, Let's keep reading. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out. Who's they? He's talking to the disciples there. He's talking to us. Because he started out by saying to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to show you in Matthew's gospel where he says that. They went out and preached everywhere. Look what happened. The Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with the accompanying signs. That word signs there means supernatural miracles in the senses realm, proving that Jesus is Lord. It's miracles. The Lord worked with them, and he confirmed his word. In Matthew 28, this is where I wanted you to see, after through Matthew's account of the Great Commission, he said, go therefore make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Teaching them to observe. Who? The ones you go and preach to. And then you're supposed to take this and you're supposed to teach them, and now they're supposed to take that and they're to go and preach. All the way down to 2019, this is for you and for me. We're supposed to be going and sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Well, what did he command them? In Mark's account, he said, lay hands on the sick. He said, cast out demons. Don't be afraid of demons. We've got the authority. That authority is going to come out of what you say. You're going to speak to those things. You're going to tell them to get out of the way. It's no big deal. You've got to get used to telling them to take a hike, and they have to take a hike. But I tell you what, they'll challenge those that look wimpy. Demons will challenge those, even though you're a Christian, if you're not quite sure, they're going to make sure they know that you're sure or you're not sure. And they'll scare the tar out of you. Or you'll send them running as with terror. You could send them running with, you know, getting the tar out of them. Anyway, God has placed power and authority in our tongue. In Proverbs 18, turn there. You've got to know this scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. So that means you could speak death into your own life, or you could speak life into your own life. It's up to you. Remember we looked at Deuteronomy 30:19 last week? I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And God is so gracious. He says, choose life, in case you weren't quite sure which one to pick. But how many people do we hear choosing death by the words they speak? Jesus said, I think it's over in Matthew chapter, I'll tell you in a second, 18. Matthew 18, I believe. No, that's not what I'm looking for. We're going to get to there, but Matthew, maybe it was 12, where he talked about our words. Oh, it is. I was on 13. Verse 33, Matthew 12 and 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. He's really talking about people. But he used the tree as an illustration. You can have nice red delicious apples on a tree, or you can find a crab apple tree. It's got full of worms. We identify the fruit on the tree by what kind of tree it is, right? So he's talking to the Pharisees here. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But look what happens. It says an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So whatever's in your heart in abundance is going to come out. It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. And Jesus went on to say, this is what I wanted you to see, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, underline that, for by your words, not the pastor's words, not even God's words, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Do you know it's by your words that you get born again? It's by what you believe and what you confess. Well, we receive everything from God. All the blessings are received by what we believe. And if we believe it, then we're going to receive them. You have to receive them by agreeing with them that they belong to you. Some people think they're being humble and say, well, I don't need much. I just need enough for me. Do you know how selfish that is? We're on this planet to advance God's kingdom. So we need to be able to have, and I'm talking about finances. We need to be able to have more finances to advance God's kingdom and to help others to see that God's kingdom is to be advanced. Not just be humble, well, you know, my bills were paid this month and I'm all set. No, you're not all set. You're supposed to be giving. Bible says we're supposed to work, over in Ephesians, we're supposed to work to have something to give. If all you got is enough for you, then you don't have anything left over to give. And our Father is the biggest example. He is the example of the biggest giver. And we're to emulate him. When we truly allow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience and goodness and kindness, when we let all of these fruit come out of us and we live that way, we're going to show people what Jesus looks like. We're going to show them the goodness of God. And they're going to want that. They're going to want that. And so, life and death are in the power of our tongue. What are you saying today? If you want 2019 to be a better year, go back and review 2018. Look at where things were hung up and see if you can identify where you might have missed it. Because all too often, we want to point the finger to somebody else. It was my spouse, it was the kids, it was the weather, it was the government. Let's take an assessment of us. Did we live according to the Word of God? Were we obedient? Because obedience is everything. It don't matter how many church services you attend, how many Bible services Bible studies you go to, how much prayer you put in. If you're not living the life of Christ, then you're missing something. You're just giving it lip service. James said, why did James say this? Because the Holy Spirit knew that there was going to be a lot of hearers. He said, don't be hearers of the word only. He wants us to be doers of the word. That's why we're supposed to be actively involved in getting the gospel out. Do people know? You know, if we were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Does everybody know you're a Christian? They should. Don't be afraid of them laughing at you, making fun of you. That's persecution. Jesus said they would. He said they did it to him. He was the Son of God, and they persecuted him. He never did anything wrong, and they nailed him to a cross. They've not. How many have come close to being nailed to a tree? I haven't. You know? Maybe it's because we haven't done enough. The world's getting darker. We should be getting brighter. We should be getting so bright that the darkness is dispelled. Darkness doesn't put out light, but light can put out darkness. When the sun comes out in the morning, there's no amount of darkness that can keep it dark. It gets light. Well, so let your light shine. Jesus got right up personal. So let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works. What kind of good works do we have? That they would glorify God in heaven. Matthew 16, is it 13? I don't know. I have Matthew 16, I think it's 13. You all know that scripture, though? No, that's not it. Matthew 5, 16. I knew there was a 16 in there somewhere. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Matthew 5:16. So let your light shine before men. Do you know that that includes what comes out your mouth? That includes what comes out our mouth. And we're talking about the power of our words. They're so powerful, God himself said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. In Matthew 12, we were looking at the tree and the fruit of the tree. And he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. How do we bring forth the good things? It's coming out our mouth. It's coming out by predominantly what we say. And he says, goes on to say, every idle word. An idle word would be a non-productive word. Non-productive for the kingdom. Because our words will produce. Your words can produce bad stuff. If you're speaking contrary to God's word. If you're speaking in line of what the world thinks, it, just because popular, everybody agrees on something, that doesn't mean it's right. We can look back to, I think it's Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where God sent, told Moses to send out the 12 spies. And they went out and they all came back, all 12 of the spies came back, and 10 of them said, it was a great land. Yeah, God provided a great land, but we're not able. It was only Joshua and Caleb that came back. And God even said in chapter 14 that they were of a different spirit. See, we should be of a different spirit. The world should see that there's a different spirit about us. You don't agree with the world. And Moses, all the 2 or 3 million people, they wanted to get rid of Moses and get a new leader because they didn't want to be brought out there to be slaughtered. Because there's giants, they listen to the 10. And so what happened? Those guys wandered around for 40 years, 1 year for every day, 40 years. And only Joshua and Caleb went in. And then the men from under 20 years old. 20 and above, they missed it. They missed it because they chose to believe the popular vote, the majority vote. You don't want to be just jumping on because everybody's raising a hand and saying, I agree. We need to know what we believe in our hearts. And only then, when it's the word of God, do we raise our hand and say, this is what I believe. That's how we live. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what do you think about? What do you think about? What consumes your thoughts in any given day? I'm reminded of, I think it's Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually that the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure in prospering you. But you notice it's predicated by you having the same favor in your heart towards his cause. Well, what would his cause be? That the gospel gets preached. That the gospel gets preached. What we say matters. Our words are either going to justify us and bring blessing into our lives, or they're going to condemn us and they're going to bring sorrow and calamity and all the bad stuff. Notice that you can be the bearer of bringing that into your own life. That's why we need to be renewing our mind to God's word every single day. So that we'll know what to say. That when we miss it, my wife and I will catch each other, or when I'm around other believers that believe the word of God, we'll catch each other. If I slip, man, people are quick to get me. They love catching me. It's halfway out, and I got to grab it back and get rid of that thing and repent. And here's the thing. Because, I like to have a good time and I've got a good sense of humor. But sometimes our sense of humor can get us to agree with things that we shouldn't be. And that's not good because you'll confuse yourself. Your mind, your spirit, man, can be confused if you're laughing and agreeing with something that isn't right. I'm reminded of way back. Most of you here probably remember Three's Company. You probably don't, but How many of y'all remember that sitcom? And the guy's name was Jack, and he pretended to be homosexual so he could live with these two beautiful girls. He pretended to be. He really wasn't. But that was introducing homosexuality in a funny way. It desensitized people to that. And that was some 30, 40 years ago. And look where we are today. It's not funny. Those that are caught up in that lifestyle, it's not funny to them. Most of them hate themselves because of it. If you get to talk to them and they don't really want to be that way, it's not funny. And so when our words are so important, we want to be mindful. You know, we shouldn't joke around. Shouldn't joke around about homosexuality. Shouldn't joke around about, you know, anything that God takes serious, we want to take serious. Amen. Amen. In Proverbs 4, let's turn over there. We're going to look at just a few more scriptures before I let you go. I want you to see what God says here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So here God's giving us instruction on what to pay attention to. Do not let them, his words, depart from your eyes. Keep them, God's word, keep his word in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they're life to those who find them. See, that's a condition, isn't it? Is God's word life to everybody? Not if they don't find it. Salvation is for everybody, but if everybody doesn't find it, the one that doesn't find it won't be able to partake of it. And so God's word is life to those who find them, and it's health to all their flesh. God's word's a healing word. That's a healing scripture right there. You can get healed on that. Father, you said your word is healing to me. I take it. I receive it into my spirit. I receive it into my mental realm. And I'm going to meditate on it. That's what he's telling us to do here. This is what meditation is. Give attention. Incline your ear. Don't let it depart. Keep them in the midst. He goes on to say, this is the verse I want to get to. Keep your heart with all diligence. Verse 23. For out of it spring the issues of life. Whose responsibility is it to keep your heart? It's mine and yours. It's not up to God. God's done his part. He's provided. He's provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. But you have to partake of it. How do you partake of it? Get in the word. Find out what it is. Believe it. All his promises are yes and amen. But if you don't know them, you can't partake of them. You can't enjoy them if you don't know them. Divine health is one of them. When I found out that so many years ago, I said, I want that. I hated being sick. I hate needles. I don't hate doctors. I hate going to the doctors. I don't like it. They prod you and stick stuff in your mouth and your ears and needles in you. I don't like that. Maybe some people do. Well, you have at it. But when I found out Jesus took my pain and my punishment, I don't need to bear my pain and my punishment. Because it's not mine. He took it. He bore it. He bore my sin. He bore my sickness and disease. But I gotta know his word, and then I gotta keep my mouth in line. Or I could bring sickness and disease right into my life. I can open the door. I can open that door for Satan to come in behind me and just broadside me by being careless with my words. You will have and enjoy your life to the degree you can get your tongue lined up with God's word. That right there is worth coming tonight. If you can remember that, don't let idle words, don't let non-productive words for God's kingdom come out of your mouth. Shut them off. That's why, you know, Facebook can be good, but it can be so bad because people just, they're typing and they hit send and now the whole world sees it. Do you know that that's just like you saying it with your mouth? That's what you believe. Don't be saying stuff that you don't really believe. It's so vitally important that we don't joke around with things that are critical to our lives, to our well-being, to having enjoying life. That's why Jesus came. How sad would it be for Jesus sitting in heaven watching down and sees nobody enjoying life because they didn't find out that he came to provide it and then how they keep it. He's telling us here, we looked at the scriptures, it's by what we say, it's by what we say, it's by what we say. And here's the other thing, the more you hear something, even if it's a lie, you'll begin to believe it. You'll begin to agree with it, you'll begin to speak it, even though it's totally 100% false. That's why it's so important. Don't just believe what I say. You open up the Bible. You look it up for yourself. You ask Holy Spirit to show you. Don't just take my word for it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. Mark chapter 4, we're not going to go there tonight, but Jesus talked about, he talked about how his kingdom operates. And he talked about four different kinds of ground in people's hearts. And he said the one that didn't give it much importance, didn't have ears to hear, Satan comes and steals it right away from him. The one that gets excited at first, but then, you know, things come. Persecution comes. A little bit of pressure comes on you. And all of a sudden, this is too hard. Don't be a wimp. You're strong. You have the authority that God put in you. You got Holy Ghost inside of you. Come on. 1/3 of you's perfect because Holy Ghost is in there. The devil should be running from you. Just when he sees you. We should live a life so that the devil, he comes anywhere near us, he's going to turn around and run the other way. All the knots in, you know, he doesn't have horns. Those are knots in his head. I've put a bunch of them there. And when, how do you do it? By speaking the word. It's what Jesus did. Holy Spirit leads him out, Luke chapter 4, to be tempted of Satan himself. And he came back at him every time. It wasn't just three times. It's recorded three times. He was tempted a whole bunch more than three times. Trust me, he was. But every time he came back, three times ought to be enough for us to know. If Jesus said, it's written, it's written, it's written, then you gotta say it's written. But here's the thing, you gotta know what's written. That's your responsibility. You come to a church that's preaching the word. From what I understand, not all churches are preaching the word. I don't know what they're preaching, but if they're not preaching the word, they're going to give an account. I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I don't know if that, I mean, whether he says that or says, you know, just give me a high five. You rocked it. You hit it out of the park. That's what I want. Not because I'm anything special, but because his word works. If there's anything you take away tonight, his word works. You got a problem in your life, you put the word of God on it, and it will demolish that problem. It'll blow it to smithereens. God's word works every single time. And so he says, keep your heart with all diligence. And Jesus said over in Mark chapter 4, that it was the one that received the word of God, had ears to hear it. He believed it. He received it into the good ground of his heart. And so he was a doer of that word. And he prospered some 30, some 60, some 100. That right there tells you it was the individuals. It was up to the individual whether you prospered 30, 60, or 100. It's up to us. It's not up to God. God's given everybody a measure of faith. You know, I heard, not that I want to knock preachers, I don't even know who it was, but he said, you know, he says God gave everybody their own little measure, their own. No, he didn't. That would be unfair. God's not an unjust God. Everybody got the same measure. It's up to you to do something with it. You can look at 100 different people and see 100 different results, but it's not God's fault. It's what did they do? Did you have ears to hear? I mean, why did Jesus teach us that? And he said, this is the most important parable. If you don't get this one, you won't get any of the others. Because he's showing us the value of the word of God, getting it into the good ground of your heart. And then Jesus said, out of the good ground of your heart, actually, even if you have bad ground in there, out of that abundance, your mouth's going to speak it. And then that's what you're going to have. Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. I thank you, Lord, for these people that come out every Wednesday night that are hungry. Oh, Father, make them more hungry for your word. Make them more hungry for more of you. Father, we can't overdose on you. Just pour it on. Pour it on, Holy Spirit. Teach us. You're the great teacher. Father, take your word here tonight and you teach to these, your people that have heard it tonight. You teach them in the areas of their life that they need to apply it to. Show them how relevant your word is. The words that they heard tonight applies to every situation that's going on in their lives. Father, I want people to get results. I want people to have and enjoy life. I want people to truly tap into the things that you've given us, Father, so that we can have and enjoy life and that we can be about our Father's business. We can be about sharing the gospel. We don't have to work three jobs just to make ends meet, that we can have and enjoy life and share with our neighbor. We'd have time to talk to our neighbors. Father, we love you so much. We thank you. I bless you tonight. I bless you and honor you. I thank you for all that you've done here tonight. And you're going to continue to minister to those listening online on with CDs down the road, Father. I thank you. Your word never changes. You never change. So, Father, we thank you. Tonight, as we dismiss, I just speak a special blessing over everybody that came out tonight. Father, bless them. Bless them for sowing their time tonight to coming and hearing your word. Father, may it multiply 100-fold tonight. We thank you, Father, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. We love you and God loves you. And tell somebody this week that God loves them.